The next item on the agenda is amendments to Regulation 4 BAC 20-530 pertaining to American shad. Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks.
The letter I just handed you is the only public comment received to date. And now I have to read that as soon as I get through the presentation. In 2006, the Commission established provisions for a bycatch harvest of American shad from portions of the James, York, and Rappahannock Rivers. As you can see from this map, they were separated into two different areas. The traditional spawning grounds held additional, more restrictive provisions. In order to be eligible to participate in the fishery on the spawning grounds, individuals must have reported harvests of striped bass using anchored or staked gill nets from the spawning regions during the months of February or March, and at least 5 years during the 10-year period 1996 through 2005. Under those criteria, there were only 11 individuals who qualified for a permit on the spawning reaches. Listed here are some of the provisions that were conditional to ASMFC's approval of the bycatch allowance for Virginia. The bycatch would only take place in the James, York, and Rappahannock Rivers, since any shad caught above the first bridges in each of these rivers would assume most likely to be from that specific river's stock. The bycatch was limited to anchored and staked gill nets, as these gears are associated with nearly 100% discard mortality. And if you look at the last bullet, the bycatch allowance is subject to review annually by ASMFC's American Shad and River Herring Technical Committee and the Management Board. And as I mentioned, these bycatch provisions were put in place in 2006. The Technical Committee and Management Board okayed them as they were established for 2007. In 2007, a long-awaited benchmark stock assessment was completed for American shad, and I'll just quickly go through some of the findings there. The assessment evaluated the status of 30 different river-specific stocks from Maine to Florida. The assessment found that overall, that's coast-wide, the stocks are at an all-time low and do not appear to be recovering. Yeah. In Virginia, the status of American shad stocks varied among the rivers. The abundance of American shad in the James and York rivers is low relative to historic levels. The recruitment of wild fish, James River stock is very poor, and the stock has relied heavily on hatchery stocking to supplement the restoration. In the York, American shad have demonstrated some evidence of recovery, although VIN's catch indices and recruitment have declined in recent years. And American shad in the Rappahannock River, shad abundance in the Rappahannock River has been variable, but not experiencing severe stock declines. With that assessment in hand, the Technical Committee and Management Board mandated the elimination of the bycatch allowance on the spawning grounds for all three rivers. And as you'll note in your evaluations, this is the concern over allowing the bycatch on the spawning grounds has been around since inception. At that time, the Virginia LOCID Task Force, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, as well as staff, were concerned about allowing the bycatch to expand into the spawning regions. The primary factors there being that catch rates of American shad increase as one moves up the river, and secondly, the ratio of hatchery-produced shad to wild shad increases upstream. On the James, the estimates have been as high as 90% hatchery fish to wild shad on the spawning grounds. The ASMFC's management board noted in their decision that any shad that reaches the spawning grounds should be considered very valuable. To that end, in a letter addressed to the Commission in 2006 from Gary Martell, DGIF, stated that the cost to produce each of the returning American shad from the restoration project was about $75 per fish. So, with that said, staff recommends amending the regulation pertaining to shad to eliminate the fishery for the American shad in the spawning areas in order to comply with the provisions of the Interstate Fishery Management Plan. And as I said, I did receive one written public comment, which I'd like to read in now. That's addressed to Commissioner Bowman, and it says, I am writing to express the Chesapeake Bay Foundation's support for the Commission's proposed amendments to regulations affecting the American shad bycatch fishery in the spawning reaches. CBS advocated against the opening of this fishery and strongly supports the Commission's proposal to close it. The number of juvenile shad in Virginia's waters in the spring of 2007 remained low. Fortunately, state and federal agencies are working hard to improve the American shad resource in Virginia. The state of Virginia annually invests approximately $300,000 through the American Shad Restoration Project. Closing this fishery will serve to protect those restoration efforts. Thank you for your consideration. It's signed Chris Moore, Hampton Roads Science Advocate.
Thank you. Any questions for staff from the commission? Thank you, John. This is a public hearing. Anyone want to speak for or against? Ms. Wyatt. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I wrote a letter, too, for public.
Could you say your name, please?
My name is John Wyatt. I'm sorry. I'm an upper river fisherman. I fish the Upper James River.
I got
river.
Your letter. It wasn't included in the pack. Did you?
I have copies of my letter. I was afraid you might not get to.
I've read it, I can assure you. I'll pass them out. Thanks, Sean.
I wrote that letter and hand delivered it to the commission. Two copies, one to yourself and one to Jack. We worked for a long time very hard to develop a management plan for striped bass and American shad, one that would protect the shad from being caught as a bycatch in the striped bass fishery. That plan has worked very well. We don't catch very many American shad in the striped bass fishery. Unfortunately, the shad that we do catch in the striped bass fishery are dead when we get to our nets. Shad don't hold up very well in anchor gill nets, so the fish are dead. That's D-E-A-D. It doesn't make any sense to throw back a dead fish. He's already been impacted. For us to keep the fish is no additional impact on the fishery. I don't know if y'all understand that or not. The fish are dead. If we throw him back, he's not going to spawn. He's just going to be wasted. And all we want is to eliminate the waste of these dead fish coming out of our gill nets. I fish from 300 to 900 foot of gill net for striped bass. I fished for 35 days this past year. I caught 13 American shad in those gill nets. All of them were called in. And I have reports there. You have a copy of my report. 11 of them were accounted for. I think two of them I kept for personal use. I forgot to fill in a report for the two. 11 of those fish were accounted for. I fished 5-inch nets in January. Y'all allow us to fish 5-inch nets in January. I did not catch any shad in the 5-inch nets in January. So that's a good regulation. 5-inch nets are good because we want to bring the average size of the striped bass down. They work to do that. We didn't catch any shad, or I didn't catch any shad in my 5-inch nets. So that's good management. After I get through fishing the 5-inch nets in March, I go to 6-inch nets. The 6-inch nets work very well at eliminating the shad also. I would estimate that the 6-inch minimum mesh size eliminates 90% of the American shad that would be caught in this fishery. So we're catching very few American shad. We're doing a good job of managing the fishery. I only caught 13 shad. I understand there's only three of us in the whole state of Virginia that have permits to fish on the, or to keep the bycatch on this spawning reach. Only three of us in the whole state. We can't be doing much harm. In fact, we're doing no harm because these fish are dead. So, I just don't get it. The fish that I did catch, if you notice, the dates on the tickets were caught the 23rd and the 24th of March. I stopped fishing on the 25th because we have a slot limit that goes into effect. I don't want to catch large rockfish and have to throw them back after the 25th of March, so I stopped fishing my nets the 25th of March. The time of year restriction is working well. There's only 2 days that I caught shad, so I don't see how our management plan could be any better. I mean, we're doing very little harm to the American shad. And to keep a few dead fish, I don't see why we shouldn't be permitted to do that. The fisherman is not the real problem with the decline in population of American shad. The real problem is a non-native predator that's been introduced into the Commonwealth of Virginia by the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. How can they be such hypocrites? That blue catfish does more harm to the fishery than all the shad fishermen could ever think of doing. We spent millions of dollars to restore the American shad. And then they turn a predator loose in the river that's just going to gobble them all up. If it weren't bad enough to have the blue catfish, now we got flathead catfish to contend with. DGIF has turned loose flathead catfish into the rivers of the Commonwealth. That's not very good management. Not good at all. We can do better than that. And to top things off, you're giving away more of your responsibility to DGIF. You let DGIF have the upper portions of the rivers now, which they have no business enforcing laws on the upper portion of the rivers. That's your responsibility to do. That responsibility is given to you by the Code of Virginia. The fishermen are not causing a problem. Certainly the three fishermen keeping the bycatch of American shad are not causing a problem. DGIF is causing a great problem for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now, there's some things we need to look at. You say you didn't get reports of the fish that we caught. We need to improve our reporting system. It needs to be made easier on the fishermen and more clear for the people who are looking at the reports. We need to look at things like that. But we don't need to stop the three fishermen from catching the bycatch of shad. And it doesn't matter whether he's caught in the spawning reach or whether he's caught in the lower river. If you catch a shad, it's not going to spawn. It doesn't matter where you catch it. The spawning reaches mean nothing. If you're going to stop people from catching shad, it should be either the whole state or nothing. It just doesn't make sense to say, if you catch them on this side of the line, it's okay. On the other side of the line, it's not okay. A dead fish is not going to spawn. I hope you all read my letter. I think I'm not real good at writing letters, but I'm a little better at writing letters than I am at public speaking. Public speaking is difficult for me, and I hope I made myself clear, but all I'm asking is to be able to keep a dead fish that will be thrown away and wasted. And that's all I'm asking for.
Thank you, John. For the record, you made yourself amply clear on both accounts. Who's next? Mr. Place? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Place. I'm a commercial fisherman. I apologize. I walked in late in the middle of Mr. Wyatt's testimony, so I don't know what preceded that, but I do have a couple of important points. Having gone to almost all the ASMFC meetings for over 10 years, I didn't realize, had no idea, that the bycatch on shad was going to be rescinded. Several things I want to point out. As some of you all know, we've been doing a sturgeon bycatch and other fish project under the auspices of Sea Grant at VIMS. It's ongoing under another person's name since I used my years of eligibility. In the data that we generated, and we measured every single fish that came on board and what net it came from, where it came from, other items of great specificity, my co-investigator wrote a report on shad using as a proxy the gear that was involved in our effort as a proxy for what the same size net would catch in different rivers. I cautioned him that his analysis was faulty, dramatically faulty. In fact, I told him, though it was came from data that I generated, not to put my name on it. I suspect that if I'm assuming, having walked in late, that it's the ASMFC technical committee that has asked the management board to rescind this shad bycatch. I believe that they received this report, which I would like to have, and I believe there may be other science that's faulty, but I don't want to comment on that without seeing it. I don't think that we should rule against a shad bycatch now at this time without having the science that backs this up, at least have the people, the stakeholders, have a chance to look at this, at the science. In a nutshell, the data that was presented that came from our study, and really against my will, and by the way, I'll mention I have not been privy to my own data since I've turned it in, which is a big source of contention I have right now with Sea Grant at VIMS. But essentially, the reason they came up with any significant bycatch at all, because I can tell you, we fished 5-inch net for 3 years straight in the river in the spring, and we caught hardly any shad. We caught a handful. And we reported all of those. As you probably know, and I presume people have already told you, a bottom net with the mesh and the gauge of the webbing that you use in a bottom net seldom catches a shad. A shad net, as you probably have heard, is specifically designed for shad, uses an extremely light gauge webbing, which some call frog hair, and it floats. It's a floating net. Nets that people use up the river are sink nets. The reason I believe that some of the data, and it was given to VMRC, is I'm not sure, I couldn't find it before I ran up here, I think report number 95 or something like that. The reason that analysis is faulty is they used as a proxy for what a 5-inch net will do in the river with shad, they used 4 3/4-inch net fished by one fisherman with a very small sample size, just a few days, off of Buckrow Pier on Grandview, 4 3/4-inch net that he was using to try and catch trout and hickory shad and large croaker. That one spot at the end of Buckrow Pier is not like setting a 4 3/4-inch or a 5-inch net anywhere else in the bay. It is the one spot in the bay that you will catch more shad than any other place. It's right at the end of Buckrow Pier. And the reason you catch more there is the configuration of the bottom combined with the hedging effect of the pier with the net at the end of it essentially funnels not just shad but other fish there. The same fishermen have been fishing that spot for generations. You can put the same gear right there and the same gear anywhere else that you might catch shad, and you'll probably have a 10, if not 20 or 30 fold times in amount of shad from the one net that's at that place. That small sample of catch effort was used as a proxy for what the 5-inch net would do in the rivers, when actually that 5-inch net is not fished the same way and it's not fished at the same time. There are any number of reasons why they won't catch the same thing. However, I asked the person why we didn't use the 5-inch net in the rivers as a proxy to show what a 5-inch net would do with shad in the rivers. And he said it's because we were not fishing against the current. Well, that through inexperience, he doesn't know you don't fish against the current, at least not with a bottom net like this. Although later he came and said, well, actually, we're sort of fishing against the current. Bottom line is, I think that the data that supports ending this bycatch is faulty, and I think we should have a chance to see it and vet it. Also, the incredibly small amount of shad caught by incredibly few people that have been reported up there, I think is a valuable tool since they're by and large sold to science, sold to VIMS. I think it's an incredibly valuable tool to measure the catch per unit of effort or the bycatch per unit of effort in both temporal and spatial terms. Because I can tell you, with all the respect I have for the people at VIMS and all the different things they've done, maybe I don't agree with everything, they aren't commercial fishermen. And that's why often they hire commercial fishermen to run gear. So I think that they need this bycatch per unit of effort and other indices, just that like VMRC collects, from the commercial fishermen to create good fishery regulations. And like Mr. Wyatt said, the bycatch proposal that we've had, it has worked. And what few shad have been caught have provided, I think, very valuable temporal and spatial data on the abundance and the bycatch of shad. And I think it would be far more detrimental to the species to lose these valuable data sets than it would be to close a fishery and punish certain people because of what I will say is faulty analysis. Also, I think that Mr. Wyatt was very accurate on the non-native predators that have been introduced up there. We have a crisis. All during our 3 years of study, as we fish nets 5-inch, 6-inch, 7-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, and 14-inch in a systematic way with good periodicity in our data sets, we caught more blue catfish by number than all the other species combined, if you take out menhaden. Sometimes menhaden are there, sometimes in great amounts, sometimes they're not. But all the other fish did not add up to the number of the blue catfish. And that should be looked at in this context. When the Game Department was introducing these non-native catfish in 1972, they told us, among many other things, which turned out not to be accurate, that these fish were freshwater fish. They wouldn't come into the salt water. All the catch I just described to you of these fish took place right out in the river out here and a couple miles up. Very pretty salty water, very brackish. So if you go further up to the freshwater where these fish were supposed to stay, there's nothing but catfish up there. I know pretty well what the Game Department, for example, catches in their sampling programs, because my girlfriend works for the Game Department. She's run the Shad Restoration Project for some number of years, and she goes out and samples all the rivers through electroshocking. The biomass of these non-native fish is astounding. It used to be, apparently, they were under orders to dispose of the fish they caught in their sampling efforts. But the biomass is so great, they don't even try to kill them or to get rid of them. There's no place to dump thousands of pounds of fish. They just turn them loose. And I'd let you know, too, that it's not just shad and herring and other allosids and anadromous fish of all sorts that are, and catadromous, I should mention, what with the impact that they're having on eels, that these non-native fish are impacting. They're impacting every species. The only two species, it's easier to tell you what species aren't being impacted, judging from my direct empirical observations over the last 3 years of this project and 30 years of fishing, are striped bass. They don't seem to be impacted. And sturgeon. We seem to be having a significant and dramatic increase in sturgeon. Why that is, I could go on forever why that is, but I'll just point out that every other species is being severely impacted. You might remember that just recently the American eel was proposed for listing under the Endangered Species Act. Well, that proposal was turned down, but I would really relish the opportunity to show you pictures of the amounts of eels that are being regurgitated by these catfish, just for example. I don't see how an eel can ascend the river to live out its lifespan before it returns to spawn without going through a gauntlet of these non-native predators. It's just unbelievable. I have people further up the river in academia as well as industry, recreational and commercial, telling me that they now see a wolf pack type behavior like you see in salt water where, say, with tarpon and menhaden, where they corral the bait up and then smash through it. We're seeing that behavior with herring in the creeks. And you might know there have been emergency regulations proposed recently on the blueback herring by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries, including and possibly necessitating a moratorium. We're going to see more and more instances like this from these non-native predators. I can also tell you that Game Department and many others are expecting what they call a trophic collapse, first in the Rappahannock, subsequently in the other rivers. A trophic collapse is basically the way they're using the term when the non-native blue catfish take so much and eat so much of the other biomass that sustains them, and they eat each other, that they won't be able to survive anymore, and you get all sorts of stunting problems and all kinds of genetic issues, genetic bottlenecking. Not enough time to go into all the negative things that will happen, and I won't regale you with all the various anecdotes of people, the horror stories that are coming out of the river, but I do want to let you know that I think that it's valuable having this bycatch allowance, even if it's just a few people, because it serves as an indicator for what's up there, even though the gear is not designed to catch that. And so I regret missing the first part of this, because I'm sure I would have had other comments, but I do think it's highly inappropriate, and I question the science that supports the elimination of the bycatch, and I do think that industry should have a chance to vet that and make their comments.
Thank you, Mr. Place.
Thank you.
Who's next? Mr. Jenkins.
Take my glasses off so I can see you, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Bishop.
You may want to put them back on.
Doug Jenkins.
Good head.
Twin River Waterman Association. I had a shad permit last year. I fished in the Rappahannock. Like Mr. Watts said, when March comes around, you're allowed to fish 5-inch net in January. I don't fish 5-net, but they do. That's the net you catch shad in. March comes around, we take those nets up if we had any old, but we feed 6-inch nets. Only caught 2 shad last year, and I gave them to Patty down at Vim's. So I don't think that hurt the fish. So that's my concern. But I have a bigger concern, and reason I come here today to address this matter is let you board members know what's going on. Because I don't think some of you are aware of what just happened in December with the ASMFC and their regulatory agency. They let the state of Maryland to regulate their trophy rockfish season. First time it's happened in 15 years. And they're going to allow the trophy rockfish season, which comes in April and goes through May, to catch 62,000 fish. That times 20 pounds, which they will average in April and May, that's 1,200,000 pounds. So what bothers me is double standards. We can't fish after the 25th of March because we are catching a fish that's going up the river to spawn. And then they come around and have a trophy season for the recreational fishing to catch 1,200,000 pounds. And the reason I come up here to address you, it wasn't as much about the shad, because it's just the principle and the thought of what are they doing to the commercial fishermen to just push us back further all the time. And I think you gentlemen should be aware of that. You're going to protect the species for spawning purposes for one group and not do it for the other, then you're not doing it at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Anyone else? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding the ASMFC Management Board has already accepted this recommendation of their technical committee, and I would go ahead and move that we adopt staff's recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion?
Further discussion.
Mr. Bowden.
I probably know a little bit more about shad than most people in here. I probably caught more than most people put together in here. The fact of the matter is, when you drop below 0.1, you're into background mortality. And you're talking a fishery now that's probably at 0.001. It's immeasurable. It can't be measured. It's so low, you would never, it's statistically not non-existent. These fish are dead. This is not a new source of mortality. This is just utilizing fish that are already dead. We know it's a very small number, and I have to agree with some of the speakers. The fact is, those fish don't know when they cross that line. So you just have a line that we imagine, that we put there, that this is a spawning reach. The blue channel catfish is probably one predator, but you also have straight bass at all times, hides and spiny dogfish. If I was allowed to go back fishing right now for shad fish, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. The spiny dogfish are so bad, they're eating rock, they weigh 25, 30 pounds. They would really love to have some shad in the net, I can tell you, easier to digest. But there's no way I can support this motion. I know what ASMC may give you a mandate, but philosophically, I cannot. You know, there's no scientific reason, and I think that's the basis of everything we do needs to be science. And this number is so small, there's no scientific reason whatsoever. You're just utilizing mortality that already exists. You're not creating any new. So I will not be supporting the motion.
Further discussion? Mr. Hall?
I agree with Mr. Madden on that.
Further discussion? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree that the mortality is statistically insignificant, but I guess I have a hard time seeing us being justified going out of compliance on the issue, given the scale of it. Thank you.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
Please silence cell phone. Thank you. No, Lionel was so popular.
Commissioner Bowen, what are the repercussions of not passing this? I know we
imagine Big Jack out of compliance and really.
This was a decision of the management board, and of course it is a compliance issue with an interstate fishery management plan. If you go out of compliance and are ultimately determined to be out of compliance by ASMFC, then it gets bumped up to the National Marine Fisheries Service for consideration of a total closure of the state. Which would be enforced by the feds. So, and if that happens, then you've not only given up the bycatch fishery on the spawning grounds, you've given up the bycatch fishery downriver.
100%.
Let me raise one other issue while I'm up here. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science and the Department of Game and Inland Fishery have a need for American shad samples. They are required under the same plan to sample the resource in all the rivers for the purposes of determining the status of the population. There's no prohibition against fishermen fishing anywhere, on the spawning grounds or otherwise, who happen to catch a shad, of providing that animal to VIMS or Game and Inland Fish for use in their sampling program. And I think they're usually, they pay for those fish. VIMS under law is authorized to do this, and it's a requirement of the interstate plan. So the few fish, there could be arrangements made, is what I'm trying to say, between the fishermen and VIMS or DGIF to have those institutions purchase the fish from the fishermen for scientific purposes. Fishermen get paid, scientists get the data they need, and the fish don't go to waste. So now if someone has in mind, you know, selling them on the market or something like that, that would be a different story, obviously. But I think I wouldn't call that a compromise. It's just a situation that exists there potentially that helps lessen the impact of what we're trying to do.
Who seconded the motion? Motion made by Mr. Robbins. Second.
I did.
Second by Mr. Schick. Thank you. Mr. Bowden?
No.
Mr. Fox is absent. Mr. Holland?
No.
Dr. McConaughey?
Yes.
Mr. McCleskey?
No.
Mr. Robbins?
Yes.
Mr. Schick?
Yes.
Mr. Tankard?
No.
Chair votes yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Motion fails on a tie. The chair will entertain another motion. Mr. Bowden?
I move that we allow the bycatch fishery to operate in the spawning reaches, but the fish have to be made available to them for scientific research.
Jack? How does that, since we're getting clarifications, how would that square with the management plan? Against it?
I think if your desire is to allow VIMS to get the sampling, you still, in order to comply with the interstate management plan, you still adopt the regulatory amendments here today that allow a bycatch fishery in the spawning reaches. That doesn't stop fishermen from fishing there and catching shad.
You said to allow or disallow?
Disallow. Disallow. But then you, VIMS is already allowed under law to engage watermen for purposes of providing them sampling. So, you know, no further action would be needed. Was that clear on that?
Can we get the motion that will kind of give us a compromise here? I mean, I think that's what we're all looking for.
I don't know that there is a motion that that's a specific compromise in this situation, I think.
You know, we don't need to amend the regulation to allow VIMS to have the fish as samples.
But would it help to have a program policy set on how to get those fish from the fishermen to VIMS?
Yeah, I think.
So we could pass staff recommendations with an addition to coming up with
VIMS
a program to encourage.
I can't have a free. I got one thing at a time. Just a minute. Continue, please.
Encourage VIMS in your motion to work with the watermen to use those bycatch shad as samples in their collections.
Mr. Bowden.
What I'd really like to see is we want to limit this to people who already have permits in that area. And that's the reason I suggested that, because we do have control now with the regulation on who can do it and the spawning reaches. I like to see them, but the people that do have current permits for the spawning reaches are the ones that VIMS contacts, gets the fish from, because this is mortality that's already occurred. Shad do not handle very well at all. So, that's, and if we don't need a motion, I can withdraw my motion. I can understand where we're getting from on that.
Mr. O'Reilly?
I just want to mention that yesterday we received requests from VIMS for permits for fishermen. They've been doing this for a number of years. So please know that they have a set amount of people that they have already established contacts with, both PoundNet and people participating in the bycatch fishery. They've been doing this since 2006, and they broadened it last year. So the idea we would have to contact VIMS and let them know of this type of approach, where it may be three individuals at most, we hope. But just so you know now that VIMS already has made some contacts.
Well, I would presume they could add the additional three, could they not? I would think they would want the additional three.
Just have to contact them.
I think they've already been using some of those people in the past.
Mr. Bowden.
I'll withdraw my motion, and I think these fish will be more valuable to VIMS, a lot more so than PoundNet fish, because PoundNet fish are caught in the lower part of the river basins, and you're going to have blending there, at least when these fish are on the spawning grounds. They are James River or Rappahannock River Oregon fish, so I think it'd be more valuable to them.
So what we're trying to do is eliminate the bycatch for personal consumption. Any all bycatch would go to VIMS. Is that the compromise? That's what we're looking at?
Yeah.
The chair will entertain a motion.
I think reconsider the last one.
Reconsider the last one?
I will withdraw my motion.
I'd like to make a motion then.
Table's open for a motion.
I move that we take staff recommendations with an addition that we contact VIMS to have them make sure that they take all efforts to be able to take this bycatch for scientific purposes.
We straight on that, Mr. O'Reilly? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, public hearing, consideration of an industry proposal to reopen the James River Hand Scrape area, Thomas Rock Hand Scrape area for the harvesting of oysters, February-March 2008. Dr. Wesson.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
The industry in the summer brought this up and requested the